You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Breaking news, gentlemen. We have breaking news. There is never a dull moment in this sport, is there? And what do you know? I am sitting here out here in Phoenix, Arizona, just enjoying what is kind of like a legendary Arizona sports night. Diamondbacks make the World Series. Phoenix Suns win the home opener against Golden State. And wouldn't you know it, Dana White announcing that John Jones is out of UFC 295's main event. He has an injured shoulder that he injured in training. That fight against Stipe Miocic is just straight off the new main event of UFC 295. Alex Pereira versus Jiří Procházka for the light heavyweight title. And the new co-main event, Sergey Pavlovich versus Tom Aspinall. Pavlovich, the backup fighter for this initial main event. That is now the co-main event for the interim UFC heavyweight title. Gentlemen, I'm with Damon Martin, Jose Youngs, the night crew here at MMA Fighting. What the hell? What do you make of all this?
Two events in a row where we lose the main event, and all this kind of craziness happened. John Jones, and just to make sure we're clear, it was a torn pectoral tendon. So Dana White said 8 months, he'll be out, has to have surgery. So I kind of guesstimated International Fight Week next year, just kind of throwing that out there for John Jones' return. But yeah, I mean, like this sport never ceases to surprise you when these things happen and pop up out of nowhere. And Jones actually has a video of where he injured the shoulder, where he injured the pec muscle, which is pretty crazy. But yeah, he's injured out. Stipe, no longer a factor. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second. And now you get Sergey, who was probably the legitimate number one contender, really. I mean, if we're really being honest with ourselves, he was a legitimate number one contender. And then Tom Aspinall, the guy that everyone's super high on. I mean, they made a pretty good fight to replace it. It's not Jones Miocic, but it's pretty good.
Jose, what do you think of the pieces we're left with here, and what do you make of Jones's pullout?
I mean, I've been pretty, injuries don't really faze me in MMA because I lived through 2012 where every single fight card pretty much fell apart. So John Jones and Stipe Miocic both could have been hit by cars. I've been like, yeah, that makes sense because this is the UFC, specifically MMA. It's weird that we have video, but I think if this happens, if last week didn't happen and we had the original main and co-main event, I feel like the reaction probably would have been more visceral because it was like a palate cleanser and then an injury. We're just like, yeah, we went through this and we got some great fights. The injury itself, it's weird that we have video of it. It's like what Jiří Procházka hurt his shoulder or chest real bad. And now John Jones seems like he has the same injury. It's just disappointing all around. It's weird. It's also a bummer that it was supposed to be the 30th anniversary. So, you know, John Jones Stipe just felt like the perfect main event for that card. Now we have Jiří Procházka, who has what, three fights in the UFC, and Alex Pereira, who has what, six fights in the UFC, headlining the 30th anniversary card of the biggest MMA promotion in the world. So naturally that's the main event we're getting, but it's still a great fight. The new co-main event between Sergey and Tom Aspinall probably was going to happen at some point anyway. If John Jones didn't come back, if Stipe Miocic had indeed retired, this is probably the fight we're getting anyway. So I'm not disappointed we're getting the fight. But like I said to people last week, I was down to see Islam Alex too. And I was down to see Usman Khamzat. I just wished it had happened under better circumstances with both, with all the fighters healthy and both fighters, all the fighters involved getting full camps to prepare for the chaos. But yeah, it's injuries don't really faze me. It's just disappointing we don't get to see the greatest fighter versus the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of immediate takeaways from this, right? Like, this is not equivalent to what we just experienced with this last pay-per-view, but it's kind of close. Like, you look at the 11th, that's like 2 weeks away, right? Like, this is kind of close to the same timeline. I said on a podcast earlier today that is probably going to be out in a couple hours, if not out already, the ranking show that we were on, that I would give up every single fight on the rest of the calendar for 2023 if it meant that Jiří Procházka and Alex Pereira stayed alive, just because that fight alone is the my most anticipated fight that I've ever seen. Like, that's just, that is everything to me. And so the MMA gods took that very literally, and they took away a very good fight. Basically, hours after I said that, I'm sorry, everyone, this might be my fault. Damon, well, my other takeaway from this, and I think that's one that we're already seeing people talk about, Stipe Miocic, not really a part of this anymore. John Jones, the one that's injured. We have video of John Jones getting injured. Stipe Miocic, not on the other side now of this midterm title fight, though. And maybe that shouldn't be surprising. It always seemed like Stipe was coming back strictly for John, that John was the carrot to get Stipe to maybe do this last fight. He's getting up there in age. He's 41 years old. John was sort of the legacy fight, the one that will bolster the resume. If Stipe goes out there and beats Tom Aspinall or Sergey Pavlovich, I don't know that that changes how we think of him, although it would be certainly impressive at his age. What are you, what's your take on it? It's still late in the night. We haven't had a chance to talk to many people yet, so we're still just sort of figuring things out. Is that your take? Is your read on this that if it's not John, Stipe is just not going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost 2 a.m. here on in Ohio, where I'm 2 hours away from where Stipe lives, so I'm quite sure he's probably asleep by this point. So I haven't talked to him or his management team yet, but my guess is it's exactly that. I mean, he was coming back for Francis Ngannou or John Jones. Those were the two fights that were going to get Stipe Miocic up and interested in fighting again. Francis is gone. John was the other one. And, you know, listen, I get it. Like, in theory, you just jump back in there and you fight Sergey Pavlovich because he was already the backup. But let's be honest with ourselves. If Stipe fell out of this fight, do you really think John Jones would be jumping, chomping at the bit to fight Sergey? I don't know that John would stay in this either. John wanted Stipe as much as Stipe wanted John. So I'm not surprised. It really doesn't surprise me this happened. I mean, it's a bummer it happened, of course, and I'm disappointed because that was such a great legacy fight for both of them, for the sport and for all of us. But I'm not shocked that Stipe just doesn't have interest in turning around on 2 weeks' time to fight this young, hungry, massive knockout artist heavyweight in Sergey Pavlovich when he was preparing to fight arguably the greatest fighter in the history of the sport, John Jones. I don't blame him. I'm not surprised by that. And also, you mentioned he's 41. Like, he's not a young guy. He's 28. You know, maybe he just turns around and fights whoever they throw at him. But this is you know, the greatest UFC heavyweight at worst of all time right now. He has the most defenses. I think that's pretty clearly stated. Maybe the greatest heavyweight of all time. What does he really gain a lot from? Maybe he pulls off, you know, maybe he beats Sergey Pavlovich. Does he really gain a lot? And maybe he goes out there and beats Sergey. Maybe he gets injured. And then the John Jones fight gets blown even worse. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I think the writing was on the wall when they announced the interim title fight. We think we could all kind of figure out if Jones wasn't there, Stipe is not going to be there either.
Jose, what do you make of the Stipe portion of this? Is this a worse fight that we're now left with because Stipe is not a part of it? Or would you say this is still like actually kind of a better fight without Stipe involved? Like, if it was Stipe versus Sergey, for instance, what do you think?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question. Is it better without Stipe involved?
Because I mean, I'll just tell you right now, my opinion, I think this is a better fight without Stipe.
That's what I'm leaning.
If this was Stipe versus Sergey, I don't know that I'm as interested in it as I would for Tom.
I would agree. I would agree, because I feel like the narrative of the last few years of the heavyweight division has been, you know, DC and Stipe fought once a year for 3 years, and that kind of held the division up a bit. And then we got this breath of fresh air with Cyril gone. And then he got, well, first Francis, you know, he climbed his way back in violent fashion. And Jairz, in the meantime, Jairzinho was neck and neck with him. He decapitates Jairzinho in Jacksonville, and then he regains the title. And it just seems like that was like a breath of fresh air into the division. Sits out almost a year. Cyril Gane rises, fights Francis. Francis wins and then goes off to box Tyson Fury. And it's like, what's left of the heavyweight division? It just feels like the heavyweight division has been stagnant ever since Cain Velasquez, DC, like Stipe thing kind of happened several years ago. And I'm not saying Stipe versus John, like the winner of Stipe versus John, both of them might have retired anyway. But I feel like Tom Aspinall and Sergey Pavlovich they've arisen as like these young, unbelievable talents in the heavyweight division, especially Tom Aspinall. Like even John Jones has said, like, he's one of my favorite fighters to watch. And I mean, a Russian heavyweight with no emotion, that's essentially just a heavier handed Fedor versus essentially the future of the heavyweight division and Tom Aspinall. In terms of high level martial arts, I think this is better. In terms of legacy, it's John Jones, Stipe all day, but I would agree with you. I'm not particularly interested in seeing Stipe fight anyone other than John Jones, especially if it's Tom Aspinall and Sergey Pavlovich. I'm much more interested in these legacy fights where Stipe is like, you know, the greatest fighters ever.
Let me throw out one wrinkle though, because here's the one thing I will say, and granted, this is heavyweight, so this fight may go 3 minutes regardless, mm-hmm. but at least if you do get Stipe and Sergey, you get two guys on full camps, because Sergey was preparing to fight on November 11th as the backup. You know, he was getting ready just in case, because we knew there was a possibility this could happen. Aspinall's coming off the couch. Like, Aspinall fought in July. He hasn't fought since then, hasn't been booked to fight since then. So we have no idea where he's at. We're back in another situation where it's Volkanovski and Usman. We're going to talk ourselves into believing that he's been training and fully prepared and ready to go. But let's not forget, last time we saw him, he was calling out Cyril Gane in France. You know, that was his next, that was expected to be his next fight sometime in 2024. So while I think it doesn't affect him as much because it's heavyweights and, you know, there's a good chance this one's going to be over inside the first round anyways, I do wish we were getting two fully prepared guys, because I think people forget November 11th is right around the corner. We are 2 weeks away from that date. So Sergey has gotten basically a full camp in. Tom Aspinall is going to have 2 weeks to get ready for a monster in Sergey Pavlovich. So again, I agree it's better on paper, and I think this is probably going to be the fight that would have happened next year, because I believe that the winner of Stipe and Jones was going to retire, and I think the loser of Stipe and Jones was going to retire. This was probably going to be like the heavyweight title fight. I thought maybe like UFC 300, they would crown a new heavyweight champion with this fight. We're just getting it earlier than expected for an interim title that will become, weirdly, the new heavyweight title after Jones and Miocic fight at International Fight Week next year. Like, it's a weird circumstance, but I think that's how it's all going to play out.
I don't think we can plan more than a week at this point, because a month ago, literally 1 month ago, 1 month ago, we were talking about John Jones Stipe and Jailton Almeida versus Curtis Blaydes coming up in November, neither of which are happening. So let's get through the next 2 weeks before we even talk about International Fight Week 2024.
These divisions are such messes at this point. Middleweight, no one has any idea what's going on at middleweight. The rankings don't make any sense. Sean Strickland has completely upended the whole entire thing. Hamzat Chimaev is out here potentially getting a title shot off beating a welterweight with no actual meaningful middleweight wins. Light heavyweight has been cursed for like 2 years now. Like, it's just absurd the level that light heavyweight has just reached in terms of unluck and unlucky circumstances and bad luck happening, and like whatever the worst case is, it tends to happen. We just saw it this past week with Johnny Walker. And now heavyweight, man, like, I think there, Damon, you laid out a really interesting, I guess, just statement scenario, however you want to frame it, of when John Jones and Stipe do fight next year, this fight that we're about to get will just essentially like become the champion after both those guys retire. I wonder, man, do you, like, this is ostensibly for the interim title, but do you actually think that the winner of this fight will fight John Jones for the actual heavyweight title in their next fight? Or do you think the UFC will just go back to Stipe? Because ultimately, we were doing the Stipe fight because John wanted it, right? Like, John called for Stipe. That was the name John wanted. Stipe wanted John. And so it just kind of worked out. That's not going to change 8 months from now. Like, say Sergey Pavlovich goes out there and knocks out Tom Aspinall in 20 seconds. John Jones is not going to call for Sergey Pavlovich when he's healthy. Same with Tom Aspinall. He's not calling for Tom Aspinall when he's healthy. How do you think this affects the next steps in this heavyweight division? Because now who even knows?
Well, I mean, I think it's just, you know, like I said, I think we were getting Jones and Stipe because Jones wanted Stipe and Stipe wanted Jones. They are both at a point in their careers where these are, we keep saying it, legacy fights that are kind of the end of your career, marquee moments, accolades that you can't get otherwise. And no offense whatsoever to Sergey Pavlovich or Tom Aspinall. They just don't have the name or the resume to command a Jon Jones or a Stipe Miocic right now. They are in a perfect world. Yes. Like you just fight the next number one contender, but Jones lives on a different stratosphere and Stipe to a certain extent does, because at 41, you know, there was a point where I just convinced Stipe was done. Like, he just wasn't going to retire. He was just going to become a firefighter and never fight again. Obviously now he came back for the Jones fight. I mean, I know Stipe well enough to know that I don't see him just being like, oh yeah, give me Aspinall, man. I can't wait to fight that guy. Or give me Pavlovich, man. This is exactly what I get up for. He's coming back for Jones the same way he would have came back for the Ngannou trilogy. So yeah, they're gonna wait. And again, what Jose said earlier, when you rebook Jones Miocic, if it happens, as you said, let's not plan too far ahead. It's still a massive fight. Like, it's still a huge fight. Like, whether there's a title online, no title online, heavyweight, whatever it is, still a massive fight between two massive names. So you're not really losing anything with that. And the heavyweight division, in a very weird way, moves forward because we're getting the two guys we all assumed would end up fighting for the title anyways. I do wonder one thing. I want to throw this out real quick. I know the UFC doesn't like to ruin one card to save another, but would Pavlovich versus Jalton Almeida been a better fight? Because Jalton's actually getting ready for a 5-round heavyweight fight. Like, I know you ruined Sao Paulo, but I'm just saying, like, wouldn't Jalton and Pavlovich been a better, not to say Aspinall doesn't deserve it, he does. I'm just saying, like, in terms of readiness, wouldn't that have been a better option?
Well, I mean, Damon, you are talking to some of the biggest Jalton Almeida fans on the planet when you're talking about MMA fighting. Me and AK and a couple other on this website would go to bat for that. But I think objectively, like, Jalton's just not there yet. Like, Tom Aspinall has, if not the win that would sort of get him into this conversation, like, he's definitely much more in it than Jalton. I think Jalton needs what's about to happen next week in Sao Paulo to sort of propel him, right? Because he hasn't even headlined in a situation like that. Like, Tom Aspinall has been that guy.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there as an option because readiness more than anything. Not even deserve it as much as, like, he's ready to go.
Jose, I see you shaking your head. What's up?
Oh, I just don't think that fight would have. Because, like I just said, the heavyweight division has been so stagnant. Why kill off? Because I don't think Jalton is heavyweight material. I just don't. I think Sergey and Tom actually are heavyweight material. So, like, Sergey goes out there. Sergey Pavlovich versus Jalton Almeida is the co-main event for the 30th anniversary. Just doesn't sell. Jalton Almeida is actually he's growing in Brazil. Cause I spoke with some Brazilian media out there and I was like, outside of Charles, who is any sort of superstar in Brazil? And they're like, Jalton could be, and Alex Pereira is on his way. I don't think you pull Jalton Almeida from his first headliner in his home country to fight a Russian that probably beats him. I think Tom Aspinall right now probably beats Jalton Almeida too. Just like Sean said, he's not quite there yet.
Jose, I am curious for your thoughts on what I asked Damon. Do you think, what are the chances of the winner of this fight, this new fight that we have, Aspinall Pavlovich, what are the chances the winner of this fights Jon Jones for the heavyweight title in the next fight?
Less than 50, I would say. I think there's a chance because money talks, but I think there's less than 50. I think John called out Stipe. John wanted this fight just as bad as Stipe wanted this fight. I don't think Jon Jones is coming back to fight Tom Aspinall. He's definitely not coming back to fight Sergey Pavlovich. I think this could be a situation where if John's out for a while, the interim title just, you know, keeps being defended / gets elevated to the undisputed heavyweight title. And then, like, honestly, Jon Jones, Stipe, do you even need a belt? I mean, it's nice and shiny and seems neat, but, like, I don't think you need a belt for Jon, Stipe, to cement their legacy, especially if they were both going to retire anyway. It was going to be vacant anyway. So yeah, less than 50%, but money talks.
Here's my prediction. Back in 2017, we had a very similar circumstance where Michael Bisping was the UFC middleweight champion, and he was off doing his own thing, fighting George St. Pierre in a fight that had no actual meaning for the 185 pound division, because all of the best 85ers were sort of on the side here. Yoel Romero, Luke Rockhold, Robert Whittaker, all those guys, they were on the side. Well, what they ended up doing is they did an interim title fight in the midst of all this between Yoel Romero and Robert Whittaker. Amazing fight. Fight of the night. One of the best fights of the year. Robert Whittaker wins. And then he supposedly was supposed to fight the winner of Bisping versus GSP. And we all knew, even in the moment, those dudes aren't going to fight Robert Whittaker. There's no point for those guys to fight Robert Whittaker. Nothing's going to happen. And what, who do you know? Robert Whittaker didn't fight either of those guys, and he just sort of became promoted to undisputed champion at some point after Bisping and GSP both more or less retired. That's how I think this is going to play out. I think the UFC is going to do what it's going to do with this fight, and then John Jones is going to come back. He's going to want Stipe Miocic still. That's the only fight Stipe is going to want. They're going to book that fight, and then ostensibly in the lead up to that fight, they're going to be like, all right, the winner of this will fight the interim champion. And then both guys will retire. And then the winner of this Madison Square Garden fight will just sort of become the champion at some point next year. What do you guys think?
100%. 100%. They'll promote it. Like you said, they'll promote it. The winner of this gets Sergey Pavlovich or Tom Aspinall. They'll promote it like that. And then right after whoever wins, John Jones says, I've done everything I want to do in my career. I'm laying it down. I'm retiring. Or Stipe, you know, somehow beats John Jones, becomes the one person to actually beat John Jones. Do you really say, man, I just beat the greatest fighter in the history of the sport. Let me come back and fight Sergey Pavlovich. That makes a lot of sense for me. No, they're both, one of them's going to retire. One or both are going to retire. And then, yeah, they're just whoever's the champ's going to become the champ. Like, they'll promote it, but yes, money talks. I think there's a better chance of John to fight Sergey or Tom if there's any chance. Stipe is zero. I'd say it's 0% chance. He comes back and fights Jones. Because if that was going to happen, Stipe would have fought right now. If Stipe was going to fight Pavlovich or Aspinall, he would have done it right now. Not 8 months from now or 6 months from now or whatever. Like, he's ready to go. He went through a full training camp. If he's not going to do it now, he's not going to do it a year from now. Like, let's be real about that.
It's also interesting in the fact that I think this could have repercussions for a couple cards down the line, because the UFC always does go to London or the UK in March. You would assume someone like Tom Aspinall, who wasn't scheduled to fight in a heavyweight title fight anytime soon, probably would have been on the shortlist to headlight that. And I had long been saying that if Stipe did beat John Jones, I bet they would have done the rematch at UFC 300. UFC heavyweight title, the two greatest fighters of all time in UFC 300. I know everyone's saying Conor, but John Jones Stipe is also right there. Now that obviously can't happen. So you'd have to wonder what happens in the, you know, January needed a main event. January still needs a main event. December 2nd still needs a main event. And that's like, what, a month and a half away? UFC's got to do a lot of scrambling the next few months to get some main events under the belt.
We've seen it, though, man. I mean, this sure. Last pay-per-view was an example. This even is a good example. When shit happens, they can make decent fights on a fly, man. Like, this is about as good as you could ask for a replacement. Mm-hmm. Last two things on this, and then we'll get out of here. Despite everything I just said about laying out that scenario, the Robert Whittaker-esque scenario, I am holding out the optimistic side of me. The little side over here on this part of my brain is holding out hope that potentially this may mean something cool for John Jones and what he does at heavyweight down the line, because I think I am not alone here in not really caring about this Stipe Miocic fight in a grander scheme, right? Like, John Jones going to heavyweight has been such a big deal for such a long time that if this was how it played out to me, I felt like this was going to be disappointing. That John Jones, after all these years, comes here, trucks a guy in Ciryl Gane who's perfectly fine, but someone who has absolutely no wrestling, and then goes in there and fights a 41-year-old Stipe Miocic, who hasn't fought in like 2 years, beats Stipe, and then just leaves the game being like, hey, I did it. I did the heavyweight thing. I beat the guy. And then just walks out with all the nuance of that left behind of like, oh, we didn't actually get to see him test himself against the best heavyweights in the world in that time. The optimistic side of me hopes that this means that maybe, just maybe, John will get a chance to not even get a chance, but that John will almost be put in a position where he kind of has to fight a meaningful heavyweight that poses a challenge to him, whether that's a Tom Aspinall or a Sergey Pavlovich or something like that. I doubt it will happen, because again, I already put out the scenario of the Whittaker thing. I think that's how it goes. But there is always another side to it. And just in case that side happens, that would be pretty cool because I just, the Stipe fight didn't do much for me.
I mean, remember John beat Stipe, you know, that's one title defense. I mean, he's only got to get two more to tie the all-time record, but I don't think even John needs that. That's the thing. Like, John doesn't need that. Like, he's so high up on everyone's all-time list. Like, I don't, like, will our opinion change of John that much if he just go out and, if he goes on trucks Stipe and doesn't fight anybody else? Like, are we going to lose respect for John? Like, John coming back at heavyweight, it was just bad timing because if he fought Ngannou and then fought Stipe, that's a pretty good, you know, 1-2 punch at heavyweight, right? Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Francis left. And the heavyweight division right now, like, you actually do have some great young talent, guys like Sergey and Tom. They just don't have the name value of what guys were a few years ago when guys like Verdum and Dos Santos and guys like that were still around. So it's a weird time where there's good young, for the first time in forever, there's good young heavyweights. They just don't have the name value or the brand name, so to speak, where they can command a John Jones, where it means something to John Jones, you know? And so I think that's the difficulty we're going to run into here, where Stipe was kind of the last man standing in terms of legacy fights at heavyweight with Francis gone.
The heavyweight division needs someone like Khamzat that just is a psycho and just is so captivating. Tom is too nice of a guy. Sergey Pavlovich is basically white bread. Two incredibly talented martial artists, but they're not drawing the eyeballs like Dana White said, or as Damon Martin said.
Yeah. Well, let's get out of here with this, because this is what we're left with. This is now the main card for the pay-per-view in 2 weeks, UFC 295. Matt Vervola versus Benoit St. Denis, Mackenzie Dern versus Jessica Andrade, Diego Lopez versus Pat Sabatini, Pavlovich versus Aspinall, Prochka versus Pereira. How do you rate that card out of 10, fellas?
7.
I'll say, man, that's tough. You know, I'll agree with Jose, 7 based solely on the main and co-main. The undercard is bad. The undercard is bad.
Matt Vervola versus Benoit.
I wouldn't say it's bad because I had to watch UFC 294 at night over in Abu Dhabi. Y'all got to watch it in the morning. That UFC 294, that was bad. UFC 289, that was bad. This is better than both of those cards. Like, bad is 289, like Mike Malott in the co-main event of a pay-per-view and Amanda Nunes, Irene Aldana in the main event. That's bad. Getting, you know, Matt Frivola and Benoit Saint-Denis as the opener of the pay-per-view, that's scrap. Fun. Matt Snell has literally never been in a bad fight in his entire life. It's not the best prelim. It's a fine prelim. We've had worse pay-per-view prelims this year. Whole card is 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I go 8. I Mark Mattson throwing down in the prelims.
I still got to go 8. Just for the 8 just for the main event. It could literally be a one fight card with that main event. And I'm still paying the money. Sure. It's everything to me.
Are we not picking Pavlovich or Aspinall? We're not going to see who we're picking. Come on, real quick. We got to see who's going to win.
Hit me. Where are you leaning?
I got Sergey. I am a Sergey Pavlovich believer. Don't get me wrong. Aspinall's a monster. If he gets it on the ground, it could go bad in a hurry. But, dude, Sergey hits like a truck. And we saw when he stuffed Curtis Blaydes takedowns. And Curtis has obviously much better wrestling than Tom Aspinall or pretty much anyone else at heavyweight not named John Jones or Stipe Miocic. I think Sergey knocks him out. And I think it's just, I think a part, again, part of it, I'm basing that on Tom having 2 weeks to get ready for a big Russian monster in Sergey Pavlovich, because I have no idea what Tom's been doing right now.
Fair. That's fair. Where are you leaning, Jose?
In a full camp, I would probably pick Tom Aspinall. I also just think Sergey Pavlovich I'm big into, like, one of fighter answers questions, and then the next fight they answer more questions, and the next fight they answer more questions. I feel like Sergey has fought a different style of fighter like his last 5 fights, and he's been doing the same thing to all of them, where Tom Aspinall has, you know, Volkov is very good gatekeeper. He's like the Neil Magny of the heavyweight division. And then Marcin Tybura was just kind of the last man. He had to fight Marcin Tybura coming back. That's why I was so disappointed that he got hurt against Curtis Blaydes. Because if he had done what he did to everyone else against Curtis Blaydes, I would have been 100% on the Tom Aspinall train. It's the big reason why I'm not on the Jailson Almeida train, because I've seen him do 3 moves in the octagon. Does them very well, but he's never done it against a wrestler. That's why I was very excited for that Curtis Blaydes fight. Now we're going to see Jailton Almeida do a front kick, blast double leg takedown against the fence into a choke. Rinse and repeat. Would have loved to see him do that against Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah, I think I'll make it unanimous. I'm also leaning Sergey Pavlovich. I need to crunch a bunch of tape now. I was not a matchup I was really expecting or thinking about. But ultimately, Damon, I think I do side with you just on the preparation side. I don't know what Tom's been doing. And Sergey's a tough guy to come in there and fight on basically 2.5 weeks notice. Maybe heavyweight's the equalizer, right? Like, this is not Kamaru Usman coming in, having to be ready for 25 minutes against a demon wrestler like Khamzat Chimaev. Like, heavyweight, things are going to go pretty quick in this fight. Both these dudes are first round finishers. Like, if this gets into the second round, I'll be stunned. So maybe that affects how much preparation they actually need a guy like Tom Aspinall. But I don't know. Right now, Eileen Sergey, I've reserved the right to change my pick in a couple weeks, though.
Let's not forget Pavlovich was the backup at UFC 285 as well. So he's essentially been in camp all year, two as a backup. And now, well, obviously now he's fighting, but backup, mopped up Curtis Blaydes, scheduled backup. Now he's fighting for the title. So that dude has basically been on for the better part of 12 months.
What do you know? Being a backup fighter finally pays off. Mateus Gamrot out there watching this happen, just being like, what the hell? Why didn't I get this treatment?
I watched UFC 294, right? Like, Gamrot was about 3 inches away from me, and he just wasn't the happiest guy in the room. I'll tell you that.
Well, he's not the happiest guy in the room right now either.
Nope.
I'll tell you who is. Tom Aspinall, Sergey Pavlovich. Sure, all of a sudden, they are in a giant fight. We have this coming up in a couple weeks. Very short time frame, but man, never stops being crazy in this sport. You can't go to sleep without some breaking news just hitting you like a ton of bricks. I love it so much. Don't love this one, but still, heck of a fight we've made out of it. I am Sean Oshadi. That man is Damon Martin. That is Jose Youngs. This has been an Emergency Reaction podcast to the latest breaking news. Keep it locked to MMA fighting for all your combat sports needs. We've got Ngannou Fury this week, MMA Hour on Wednesday. Lots of good stuff. We love you guys. Take care.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.